call your attention this morning to Genesis chapter 2, but I'm not going to read, but just certain verses, so it might be better if you just listen rather than trying to find it. And the Lord God planted a garden westward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." We find then that after the flood in Genesis 9:1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." We find when the Jews were carried away to Babylon, in Jeremiah 29:4, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." Then in Luke 19, verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." I'm speaking to our young people today primarily, but married couples, I believe there are things you can glean from what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk to our youth. Obviously, part of occupying till he comes is these other matters that we've spoken of.
Yes.
Finding a wife, getting a husband, having children, and so forth. It's important that we multiply and are not diminished. One of the most important works of life is the raising up of godly children to carry on the work after we are gone. The goal that we see, happy, godly homes. These are the building blocks of the church. Happy, godly homes. Godly children propagating the faith. Effectively keeping the garden of God. What was the young man's part? Well, Adam's part was first God's garden. God planted a garden. He set the man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. That was his responsibility. He was God's gardener. Okay? He was God's servant. His primary goal was serving the Lord.
Yeah.
In that context, God said, "It's not good for him to be alone. I will make him an help." meet or fitting for him. He is tending the garden. He is doing my business. He set there to dress it and to keep it. I'm going to make a helper for him. To help him do what? Help him keep the garden, obviously. In Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. David told his son, he that ruleth over men must be just, appropriate, doing the right thing at the right time. In verse 8 here in Proverbs, open thy mouth for the dumb in the case of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Okay? We've got single youth. I think all of them would like to gain happy, godly homes. The big question, how do we get from here to there? How do we get from here to there? Now, let me say first of all, if this, God's garden, occupying till he comes, doing his business, is not your goal, then you can never have a happy, godly home.
That's right.
If getting married is for some other reason, you will never have a happy, godly home. You young men, first and foremost, are you keeping God's garden? Are you God's gardener? Are you busy about his business? In that context, you can pray for a helper.
Yes.
In any other context, you have no right
Amen.
To ask God for a helper. Oh, but I want to get married. She'll make me happy. God has no desire to get involved in that. That is not what it's all about. Man's part here, in Proverbs 31, we have the prophecy of a mother. And guess what? This man listened to his mother, or was supposed to. God thought that what his mother taught him was so important, he recorded it in Holy Writ. You young men need to sit up straight and listen to your mama.
Amen.
When she tries to give you counsel about manhood and womanhood.
Amen.
Okay? And so God recorded it here. She said, as a mother, give not thy strength unto women. A mother understood how girls can be manipulative. How girls can the Bible said, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Don't bow down to your pituitary gland. Okay? There's more to live for than your hormones. There's more to live for than your appetites. There's more to live for than gratification of your flesh. You understand that? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Well, I'm not a king. Well, you need to be one.
That's right.
This is talking about someone who has a position of importance and authority. Every young man ought to see himself as a prince before the King of Kings,
Amen.
An ambassador for Christ, someone who is tending God's garden. Adam was king over that part of the garden that he was placed over, and you will be king of a home. You will be king of whatever responsibility God gives you. You need to sit up and be a king.
Yes.
You need to have some purpose. You need to get in touch with your Creator before you think about marriage. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine or strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment. You listening? You're supposed to be a noble, just, faithful, honorable, humble, spiritual gardener for God. That is your place. That is your calling. Any other context, any other category, and you're not right with God, you're not pleasing God, God's blessing is not on you, and don't expect your prayers to be answered.
Right.
Okay? You with me? You know what the problem with most marriages is? The man is not serving God, yet he wants admiration, honor, and obedience like the Bible says. That's a problem. That honorable reverence and obedience the Bible speaks of is for God's gardener. Not for some self-inflated guy that thinks that his, you know, he's going to be his own God. Or a woman who does not want to serve God, but she wants a godly man. She wants a godly man who's going to be faithful and kind and full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fruit of the Spirit, but she don't want to serve God. Neither one of those work. No, God's not going to get involved in that mess. Get your parents involved. This mother had a lot to teach. Proverbs 31, beginning down with the woman's part, which we're going to read part of it, is an acrostic. Proverbs 31 on to the end is an acrostic for the Jewish alphabet, delineating the qualities of a virtuous woman. We'll get to that in just a minute. It says, the prophecy that his mother taught him. When it is time, and not before, when you're old enough to get married, talk to your parents about it. Okay? Adam, first of all, was busy in the garden.
Yes.
Before God said, he needs a helper. Oh, but I want to help meet. For what? What do you want to help meet for? To flatter you and do your business? And you're praying to God, God, give me a helper. God says, you're not doing my business. Why would I want to give you a helper? Amen. No. You young men, number one, you figure out what part of God's garden you're supposed to be tending. You figure out what God's ministry is for you, what God's calling is for you. You get busy building the church of Jesus Christ, the faith once delivered to the saints. You get busy doing God's business. And then say, you know, I could really use a godly helper in this, and I bet God will answer your prayer. In time. But get your parents involved. When I was a young man, I was busy about God's business from the time I was 15. I was pushed by a lot of people, including my youth pastor and wife, to date. You need to date. You need to, you know. But I realized that I was busy, and every time that I even thought about that or thought along those lines, it hindered. It got in the way. There came a time in my life when I thought, you know, maybe I should just be single and serve God. And I told the Lord, if you want me to be single, I'll bow to that. I wanted to get married and have a family. But I thought, I want to do God's business first. I want to do God's business most of all. Well, I went about God's business. I won't go into all the details. But through trying to minister and preach and so forth, I came to a realization that if I was ever going to be a pastor, start a church, be a missionary in America and so forth, I really needed a wife. Because I couldn't counsel these young ladies, and I really couldn't build a church. How could I pastor a church as a single man? I thought that is fraught with all kinds of difficulties and dangers, and so I needed to have a godly wife. And so I began seeking a godly wife. At that time, I was at a very conservative Bible college. There was a lot of young ladies there who could have gone to other Bible colleges, but they were there. Because it was a conservative Bible college. A lot of nice, godly, Christian young ladies. But even among them, I realized you could get a bad apple. And you never know, because everybody's putting their best foot forward. Okay? What would they be like if they weren't at Bible college? What would they be like if they weren't there trying to get their MRS degree? Then what would they be like? And what kind of wife would they be? And what kind of mama would they be? I didn't know. I had no way of knowing. And my mom and dad weren't available. I had no godly authority that I could say, hey, what do you think about this? And Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool.
Yes.
But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well, I thought, Lord, how can I do that? How can I get my heart out of it and use my head? That's not an easy matter. I mean, God made a natural... Hey, by the way, this boy-girl thing, whose idea was it? Whose idea was it? It was God's idea.
Right.
We always... Everybody thinks of Hollywood. They're the experts on love. They don't know anything about
Amen.
Love. These magazines and websites and all this garbage. Oh, this romance novel and that romance novel. All you're doing is being deceived by a bunch of garbage.
That's right.
Okay? God is the one who thought it all up. God is the one who designed it. God is the one who ordered it. And the all-wise, almighty God is the one who regulates it for the best effect.
Amen.
The best production. The wisest way. The best way. And when you submit to His Word and realize His law is as smart as it gets.
Yes.
The Bible says there is no counsel, there is no teaching, there is no wisdom against the Lord. There is no wisdom above His wisdom. There is nobody smarter than God on the subject. They need to submit their thinking to His teaching on the subject, His way, His mind. Anyways, I realized that I was in a bad situation. I was in a very vulnerable situation. I began praying that God would show me, how do I know which girl to even ask? How do I know? Well, I realized that having a parental viewpoint was very, very important, but I did not have that option. And as I prayed, God gave me some principles that very much helped me. When I looked at a young girl, I was not to look at her as a potential for my wife. I was to say, what would I say if my son came to me and said, Dad, what do you think about her? What would I tell my son about her? Would I want my son to marry her? Would I think that she would be a good wife for my son? Keep me out of it. That changes the perspective greatly, if you're honest.
Yes.
You got to be honest or nothing works. You got to be honest, okay, with yourself. The second principle was that this is going to be the mother of my children. Do I want my daughters to be like her? She's going to be the mother of my children. So, regardless of, well, she's cute, no. Is that what I want? Is that what I want my daughter to be like? Is that what I want my son to marry? That kept my heart out of it and allowed me to use my head much better. And I prayed. I realized there were still chances of prejudice and bias involved there. But a young man's part is not to attract the admiration of the young ladies, seek to be popular. A young man who's doing that is not concerned about God's garden.
Right.
He's not going about God's business. That young man is in the flesh.
Yep.
That young man is walking in the flesh. He's not walking in the Spirit. He's not in line with God's will or God's way. And you young ladies, if you're smart, you just stay away from all that. You would avoid that young man. It's not your part, young men, to attract, to try and get popular with the young ladies. But it's your responsibility to be the young man that all the mothers are going to hope their daughter marries. It's your responsibility to be the young man that the fathers are watching and saying, I like him. That's what your job is. Because that means you're doing, the Bible says that Jesus, as he grew up in favor with God and man. Okay? And when you're in a biblical environment, favor with God and man often go together. Because the men of the church will say, you want to know who the spiritual young man in our church is? It's so-and-so. Well, most likely they're right. Most likely that is the spiritual young man in their church. Okay? And your part is to be looking for a means to provide. Learning a trade. How am I going to support a home? How am I going to support a family? Be saving and preparing to lead a successful home. Be walking with God. Be learning and seeking God's will for your future. Now let me say something here. Young men, I think every father in here would totally agree with what I'm about to say. When we think about our daughters marrying a young man, whether you don't have to have 40 acres in a castle. Okay? We want a young man, not that is rich, not that has a lot, not that has a good paying job. We want a young man whose heart is after God.
Amen.
Okay? When we see a young man whose heart is after God, but he doesn't make a lot of money, if he's striving, if he's trying, if he's being frugal, if he's doing the best he can, that's what we're looking for.
Yes, sir.
Here's a young man who's going to be a good father. Here's a young man who's humble. Here's a young man who's teachable. Here's a young man who's working hard, doing his best. It's not going to matter if you've acquired 40 acres and a castle for our little princess. If that's our mentality, we're not right with God.
Amen.
I started out, I was in the business of serving God. I was tending God's garden. I was not in the business of making money and attaining material things. When I got married, I had about $1,500 in the bank and a car. I did not have a job at the time, though I had options. I was actually thinking of going back to college, which I knew I could get a job up there. There was a time when we started out, we went and worked for a church, making $250 a week. The apartment rent was like about that a month. We hit the ground running serving God. Our whole marriage has been contending for the faith that we knew. Preaching the gospel, witnessing, teaching, preaching, building churches, building youth departments, running buses. Our whole marriage has been that. And you know, that is very important. And I'll get to that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. At one point, we lived in a travel trailer. At one point, we lived in a shop with insulation and stud walls and a concrete floor, 16 by 20 shop with an outhouse. Okay? What you see here is a 30 years of marriage accumulation and hard work. It didn't always look like this. We drove older vehicles, patched them up, put them back together, kept them going. You know, that little shack that Jubal built up here, that's a nice little house for a new married couple. It's plenty. You don't have to build a castle. You can build more later. You know, start out simple, work your way up. Your parents have been working for years and years and years and years. You don't have to start out where they're at.
That's right.
If you get to where they're at in 30 years, yeah, that's where I'm at after 30 years of marriage. Young ladies, let's go on with this Proverbs 31 acrostic. I'm only going to read certain verses because we don't have time to go through it all. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She is thoroughly honest. She is thoroughly trustworthy, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. I got my pages mixed up. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Young ladies, It's your place to be virtuous, honest, faithful, committed to God and duty. Titus 2:3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Are you teachable, young lady? Are you teachable from the elder women in the church? Or does it have to just be a certain individual that you would listen to? Are you open to all the elderly ladies in the church to teach you and guide you how to love your husband, how to love your children? You're not going to learn that on the website. You're not going to learn that in the magazine. You're not going to learn that in the love novel. You're going to learn the opposite. You're going to learn self-love. You're going to learn carnality. You're going to learn feminism. It's not your part to become popular with the boys. Trying to show off, trying to flirt, trying to catch eyes. It's all a bunch of foolishness that has no place among the people of God.
Amen.
And you know what you're doing? You are tearing down your opportunity for this. That's what you're doing. It's not your part to do that. It's your part to be the young lady that all the fathers are thinking, hey boy, hey son, have you considered her? That's the young lady you're supposed to be. It's your part to be the young lady that all the mamas are thinking, she'd be a good choice, son. Oh, but I'm just trying to catch his eyes. You're a fool.
Yep.
You are a fool. You are destroying your opportunity for that right there.
Yep.
You be the young lady that the mamas are praying. I'm praying that my son will ask for her. She'll be a good wife. She'll be a good mother. She'll be faithful. That's what you ought to be doing.
Yes.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Adam Clark said, there are difficulties and trials in all states, but let marriage and celibacy be weighed fairly, and I am persuaded the former will be found to have fewer than the latter. However, before we enter into an engagement which nothing but death can dissolve, we had need to act cautiously, carefully, consulting the will and word of God. Where an unbridled passion or a base love of money lead the way, marriage is sure to be miserable. In the Jewish constitutions, it says this, quote, there are four causes which induce men to marry. Number one, impure desire. Number two, to get riches. Number three, to become honorable. And number four, for the glory of God. Those who marry through the first motive beget wicked and rebellious children. Those who marry for the sake of riches have the curse of leaving them to others. Those who marry for the sake of aggrandizing their family should be diminished. Those who marry to promote the glory of God, their children shall be holy, and by them shall the true church be increased.
Yes. Amen.
You notice it said, and help meet for him. Oftentimes, girls in our society don't understand why they were created. And help meet for him. Okay? That was the idea when God created you. I want you to understand. That implies purpose and direction.
Yes.
That implies that he's busy doing something. Okay? And you are a helper fitting for what he's doing.
Yes.
If what he's doing is God's garden, are you fitted to help there? That's what you need to think about.
Amen.
Is that your purpose? It's more, you need to understand that a 30-year successful marriage is due to a cause bigger than her and I.
That's right.
Okay? We were busy doing something bigger than us. And that's probably what brought us through the dysfunctions that we were raised with, we were not raised in the kind of home that we've strove to have. Okay? But we had a cause that we both were committed to. God's garden had to thrive. God's garden had to survive. And so we were willing to overcome our dysfunctions to make sure that God's garden went forward. You got to have something bigger than you. Oh, I like him and he likes me. That will only take you so far.
Yeah.
And then you will crash and make a big cloud of dust. I want you to understand that marriage is far more side by side than it is face to face. I'm looking at her, she's looking at me. That's like the salt. But the meat is side by side. We are serving God.
Yes.
If you don't have the meat, the salt is going to get a little unbearable. It's not going to last. It can't just be, oh, she's cute. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, he's, you know, that only goes so far, and that'll take you so far and dump you. And if you don't have a cause bigger than you and bigger than your flesh and bigger than your pituitary gland, you won't make it.
That's right.
A vital ingredient is busy about God's business. Otherwise, it's all about selfishness, enjoyment. And when we get bored, well, let's get an entertainment center. We gotta find a new movie, honey. We gotta go on a new vacation. We gotta find something to do so we can enjoy each other. Because just you and me is not enough. Let's go find something to do. That's what the world does. Oh, we're you know, just you and me. You know, let's go on a cruise. The institution of marriage is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end.
Yes.
Okay? The end, Adam was taking care of God's garden. Eve was a helper to take care of God's garden. Doing God's business was the end.
Yes.
Marriage was a means to better fulfill the end. Okay? That's what marriage was for. So how do we get from being a single youth to happily married serving God? Point A to point B. Number one, you got to realize that God's wisdom, truth, God's counsel, God is the expert on marriage. God is the expert on romance. God is the expert on all of it. It was his idea to begin with. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. When you start getting smarter than God's commandments, when you start getting smarter than God's law, this false piety. You only show professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The celibate priesthood. Oh, it is more sanctified for priests to be celibate, the Catholic Church said. And they have a history of disgrace and shame because they elevated their thoughts above the commandment and ordinance of God. Every time man begins to think he's smarter than God, he only proves himself a fool.
Yep.
You young people, in September, we will celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary.
Glory.
We have brought forth 12 children. We've been building God's church since day one. I can tell you, Hollywood does not know anything about lasting love. Hollywood does not know anything, or Paris, or London, or any of them, about continued romance. Romance that lasts a lifetime. In love, after 30 years and 12 children. Find one of them that can give you those credentials. Where's their marriages? Where's their homes? Why are we looking to Baal? Why are we looking to Ashtaroth? Why don't we look to Jehovah?
Amen.
And the Word of God? Young people, I hope you're listening. Young man, I've talked about your part. If this is what you want, get about God's garden. He'll find a helper for you.
Yes.
Okay? Become the young man that the moms and dads are eyeballing and looking and saying, there's a young man that I would like to marry my daughter. Be the young lady that the moms and dads are saying, now there's a young lady that I would like to marry my son. If you're not doing that, what in the world are you doing? Who do you think is gonna be in charge of these decisions and promoting these things and guide counseling their youth? No, what'll happen is this little rebel will attract this little rebel, and they'll get together and run off. And they think they're so smart. And they're going to go...
That's right.
And we'll be looking at the dust cloud after a while. I've seen it many times in 30 years. You better wise up. Now what about the parents' part? Parents, never pair off before it's time. Don't get your little boy praying for some young lady in the church. They don't need to be thinking about that.
That's right.
You need to be leading your young man to tend the garden of God.
That's right.
The young ladies need to be learning skills in the home. Godliness, propriety, modesty, holiness. When they get marriage age, you might need to sit down and have a talk. When you see them noticing and being noticed and the natural things that are going on, you better sit down and talk to them and explain to them that if this is the goal, there are ways to get there and there are ways that will never get there.
Yes.
You better be frank. You better be open. You better point them in the right direction. Keep your child accountable. Their reputation is their responsibility.
Amen.
If all the fathers in here look at one of my daughters and say, oh, I don't know about her, there's nothing I can do about it except exhort her. Young ladies, your reputation is your reputation. You did it, you're going to live with the fruit thereof.
Yep.
Young men, if the fathers are saying, I don't know about that young man, he concerns me. His attitudes, his actions, his choices, his values. I don't know how interested he is in tending God's garden. Young men, if that's what the fathers and mothers are concerned about, it's totally on your back.
Yep.
Your reputation is your responsibility. You're hearing it, okay? Your parents have told you. If you're smart and you want a godly home and a godly wife or a godly husband, you get busy being godly.
Yes. Yes.
Parents, don't coddle and cover. You will ruin the child. You got to be open, honest. You've got to deal with things appropriately and properly. And then you got to help your young men find a trade or a job. Guide them. Try to help them to have a means to support a family. Help your young ladies learn how to can and cook and clean. Teach them to be good housekeepers. Then once they get married, leave them alone as much as possible. Don't try to run their life. You had your chance. To get your nose in, you had your chance to say your piece. When they get married, leave them alone. The church, then, is their authority. Okay? They are a man over their household before God and the church. And you can give counsel. You can be a friend. If they seek counsel, by all means, give it. but don't try to run their life. Let me say one more thing on this very important subject. All youth go through an awkward stage. I did. All youth go through an awkward stage of transition from a boy to a man, from a girl to a woman. And they do stupid things. And they have stupid thoughts. And all of us who are adults would be ashamed if our youthful stupidity was replayed.
Right.
Okay? We can look back and say, what were you thinking? You know? What? That was stupid. Yeah, well, it's because oftentimes the judgment is immature and yet confidence is running high.
Yeah.
That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Ignorance and arrogance make a bad combination, okay? But that's oftentimes the case. We've all been there. We all know it happens. Now, if you've been raised in a close fellowship like this, young men, you may feel like, because of your awkwardness in a certain stage of life, that you need a fresh start. I need to go somewhere with a fresh crowd. I need to start with a fresh crowd who doesn't know about my stupidity in my youth. Any of you ever felt that way? Yeah, you felt that way. Young ladies, you feel like, oh, if I could just start over with a fresh crowd, it'd be nice. Let me say to you this morning, there is a great blessing in growing, repenting, overcoming, and becoming successful with the same ones who saw you as a child.
Yes.
In this church, the crowd of people here are rooting for you. They're praying for you.
Amen.
Okay? In this group of people right here, yeah, we may have known some of the dumb things you did as a boy, but when we see you maturing and becoming a man, and we see you praying, we see you repenting, we see you being honest, we see you confessing, we see you getting back up, we honor that.
Amen.
We love that. We respect that.
Yes.
Okay? It draws our hearts to you. And if you run off and say, well, I need a fresh crowd, you're going to get in a crowd that doesn't care near as much for you.
That's right.
As the people in this room.
That's right.
Parents, people say, well, Brother Mark, I don't know if I can handle him as a father-in-law. You might be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You might be surprised that I'm not always pounding the pulpit. Okay? People need to allow others to grow and change and rise above youthful mistakes.
Amen.
I started out scraping financially. I look back at my youth and shake my head and say, I'm sure glad I grew out of that. I'm sure glad I'm where I'm at now and not back there. The less rules, training, and example a young man has, the worse the awkwardness is going to be. The less the parents give training and guidance, or the more they resist the training and guidance, the more awkward it's going to be. But you can live that down. You can live that down, and you can have the older men in the church saying, yeah, I remember you were a boy. We were wondering about you, but hey, you've really done well. You've really sprouted some nice wings and you're flying straight. Praise God.
Glory.
You've done really good. That's valuable.
Yes.
It's valuable to have a big family, have young people intermarrying within a big family, all going the same way. You don't have to deal with the fact that I married this girl. She believes right, but her parents believe wrong. And there's always conflict. No, if you marry a girl who's been under the preaching that you've been under, there can be great blessing there.
Yes.
Parents are not that hard to convince, young men. What they want to know is, are you really trying?
Right.
Not just to get their daughter. Okay, they're not stupid. They know how you can get really nice to get what you want. You can get really friendly and really nice and really say everything right when you've got your mind on a goal. No, they're not stupid. Are you humbly learning? Are you faithfully striving? Are you showing forth a good, unselfish work ethic, honesty, integrity? Are you being a good steward? They're watching all that. Because that's what makes a good husband, a good father. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, dear God, I want to help meet. For what? What do you want to help her for? You want a helper or a lover? So, young lady, you wish to get married. For what? For romance? Or do you want to get equipped to help some young man be a man of God?
Yes.
You want to get equipped. You want to get spiritual so you can help some striving, eager young man to reach his potential for God.
Oh, Lord.
Is that what you want? If you don't want that, I wish you'd put a little tag on to let every young man here know that.
Yeah.
So he could run. Adam served God in tending God's garden. Eve served Adam and helped Adam tend God's garden.
Yes.
Is that the picture you got in mind? Adam was to love, provide, lead, and protect his treasure, Eve. Eve was to serve, obey, and reverence her leader. Oh, yeah, I'll be submissive. Honey, go this way. I'll follow you. I'll obey you. Go,
yeah.
Go that way. No, that's not submission. No, that's not submission. Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, we have a beautiful picture beginning in verse 22. Notice in all Scripture, when God's dealing with authority and those under authority, He always speaks to those under authority first. Servants and then masters. Children and then parents. Wives and then husbands. Okay? It is not the wife's place to determine whether the husband is leading properly. It is the wife's place to determine if she is following properly.
Yes.
Okay? When she is following properly, she can leave the rest to God and the church. Okay? It's not her place to say, well, I don't think you did that properly. No, it's her place to make sure she's doing her job properly. Okay? He is the one leading the home. She is to reverence him. Now, making a humble, reverent appeal has a place. We're not going to get into all that right now. That will be a different lesson. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this is written to Christians in church.
Yep.
It's not written to the heathen. Okay? Heathen who try to say, well, honey, the Bible says you need to submit. If you're not in church, in the context that this was written to, then you have no grounds.
Right.
This is not written to heathen. This is not written to the unchurched. This is written to the church at Ephesus, and the people reading it, the people being taught, are those in the church, in the faith. And so that's where it applies properly. Now, as a general rule, wives are supposed to obey their husbands. Yes. But not as to the Lord.
Right.
This is for Christians, okay? So husbands, when you are filling your role before God, then you can expect such. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, until you are doing that, wife, you're not eligible to start complaining about your husband. Until you are doing that, you're not eligible for correcting him and rebuking him and telling him how he did this wrong and did that wrong and that wasn't nice and you should have said it this way. No. Until you are doing this, you need to focus on doing this. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Okay. Do you want your husband to love you even as Christ loved the church? Even as Christ washes the church with the word, are you willing to be scrubbed with the word? Maybe you ought to read what Christ said to his beloved churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Okay? Love must be defined by God's law.
Amen.
A husband who is tending God's garden, doing God's business, expects a helper to not hinder the garden, right, to not hinder God's business. If the helper is not helping, then there needs to be some exhortation, there needs to be some rebuke, there needs to be some teaching. Husbands, loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church that he might produce the church for the glory of God.
Yes.
Okay? It wasn't just all about making the church happy, giving her everything she wants, making sure she's pleased. Where's that in the context? Okay? Young ladies, are you ready to be a helper for a gardener? Are you ready to get in there and help him make this garden exactly what God wants it to be? Or are you looking for somebody to flatter you? Someone to speak well of you and to worship you? Boy, I hope you're listening. You better pay attention.
Amen.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it even as the Lord, the church. Yeah, nourished it, cherished it, washed it with the word. It's all in there. Basically, this man. Okay, part of your test as a man. The husband, the bond of the house bond, okay? Your test is to see how well you can manage the garden, the house. Can you manage a godly home, manage the finances, raise the children? Can you do all this for the glory of God? That's part of occupying till he comes. He's not going to put you over 10 cities if you can't manage your home. The Bible says it's a test of being a bishop.
Yeah.
A man that cannot guide his own home, he has no business trying to run the church. They're very similar. Okay? Now, so, the man is laboring before God Almighty to tend the garden. Her job is to make him more effective, make him more efficient, to aid him in that. If she's not doing that, she's not a good wife.
That's right.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. That would be nice, wouldn't it? And the wife see that she reverences her husband. Reverences her husband. You notice it says husband love the wife and wife reverence the husband. It didn't say if you feel like it. It didn't say if you're happy with him. A wife has no business backtalking, sassing, commanding, criticizing her Lord,
her husband.
Right.
It is not appropriate to your place. You are to reverence that man. Follow his leadership. If you're not doing that, you can expect a bad relationship. God talks to the one under authority first for a reason. Because if the one under authority is not in their place, the one in authority cannot respond to them in the love and the care that they would like to. They can't. God so loved the world, then why did he flood it with a flood? Because those under authority were out of line. He could not love them in that condition. Primary responsibility for a relationship does not fall on the one in authority, but the one under authority. Children, obey your parents. When children are obeying their parents, it usually goes pretty well. If there's a problem between, okay, I've had people come to me and say, yeah, I work for such and such employer. We never got along. You never what? Oh, yeah, he was the... No. He's the employer.
Yeah.
You're supposed to please him. He's not supposed to please you.
That's right.
Well, you know, I had this school teacher, but we argued all the... What? You're the student. Shut up and sit down.
Amen.
That's the teacher. You don't argue with the teacher. The Bible says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father.
Yes.
Okay? Well, me and my father just never got along. Why? Why? Because you didn't know how to reverence his position? You didn't obey? Yeah. You didn't follow? Oh, that husband, yeah, we had a pretty rocky relationship. You mean you were sweet and submissive and serving and trying to please him and he just didn't appreciate it? You were being a Christian wife that even if the husband obeys not the word, let him be won by the conduct of the wife? And so you were doing your best to win this man to Christ by your chaste conduct coupled with fear and he just didn't like it? That's a possibility, but not probable.
Right.
It's possible. There are men who are just beasts and wicked, ungodly, but usually when a man and woman get married as Christians, they both want it to be this.
Yes.
Happy, godly home. And if they're willing to mind their business, the man's business is the garden, the woman's business is the man. If they're willing to mind their business, the man busy about God's business, the woman busy about the man, helping him build the garden. If everybody will mind their own business God's way, you can maintain a happy, godly home.
That's right.
If you don't, you won't. That's what I am learning after 30 years of marriage and serving God in 30 years of marriage. Let's stand together. Oh, I hope you were listening, young people. I hope you're listening. I hope you listen to it again. I hope some of you husbands are listening, and mothers, fathers. I have given you good doctrine.
Yes.
Forsake ye not my law. Any thoughts before we pray?
Looking back to number one indicator, contributor to any meaningful success that we've had is at some point I come to an understanding that all these other features and attributes and different things to be pursued in life are empty and worthless. And you can't see the path from the beginning and you can't see the outward appearance of the end. But if you start with that right seed, that you want to please God, that's what determines the end.
A cause bigger than just you and her. Yes. And may I commend you. I've seen you overcome greatly with that cause. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Any other thoughts before we pray? Let's pray.